It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis. We're continuing the study, Genesis chapter 3, and we've read for several weeks now, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. We're going to do the same today, and we'll continue and begin with the 7th verse today. But Genesis chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 1, is where we'll start. While you're looking that up, I'd like for you to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit us at our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so we'd like to invite you to contact us at our website, write us a note, let us know that you're enjoying the study of the Word of God. We love to study the precious Word verse by verse, and it's just something I do it here with the radio program, but it's identical to what we have on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday afternoon. We study the Word of God. We love and enjoy studying the precious words. The only way we're going to become Christ-like is to know His way and know His will, know His Word, and that is to know His Word. Now let's begin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now let's begin with prayer after the reading of God's precious word. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come together each time. Lord, it's just been such a wonderful time to study your word, and to study the book of Genesis, Father, is so exciting. I think it's got to be one of my favorite books of in your word, though there are many, Father, that I enjoy. And I enjoy so much, Lord, studying your word from cover to cover. We're to look at the full counsel of God, the full word, all of it, Lord, not just parts of it, not just choose bits and pieces of your word and say, okay, I like this and I don't like that. Don't let us do that, Father. I ask that you will show us your way and show us your will, that we may walk each day closer to you, serving you, Lord, please. Guide and lead us now as we study this part of your word. It's a sad day, because it's a day that's been repeated many, many times of this 7th verse of what we do today. So, Lord, please open our eyes that we may see your truth. when we looked that the food was good and pleasant to the eyes, desire to make one wise. We looked then, Lord, but we looked the wrong way. Now let's look to you. We can do that because of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Guide and lead us now, Lord, as we enjoy this study. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we enjoy the study of the Scripture, grow in it each and every day, as we study it together, we find something here in this seventh verse. You know, we've got Eve. She was deceived. Adam was not. We have confirmed in God's Word. We've also noticed that Adam was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as he made a decision, a known decision to leave the presence of God and come down to get his bride, Eve. The Lord Jesus Christ did the same. He left glory. He left the presence of his Father to come down to get his bride. And he did that when he came to earth, born in the manger, born from Mary. The Father was the Holy Spirit. Joseph was the husband of Mary, but not the father of the Lord Jesus. And for 33 years, Jesus lived here upon this earth. He walked a perfect life, different than Adam, when Adam made this choice to come from glory, literally from Eden, from a perfect place, and come down to get his bride. He sinned, and mankind ever since have been born into sin because of it. He made a choice. He had to go get his bride. Jesus had to come and get his bride, but Jesus never sinned. He lived a perfect life. He come to do just that job. He never sinned, and yet the load of sin was placed upon him. Because you see, if man was to sin, man would have to die. We found that here in Genesis, very clear. If man made the choice, verse 17 of chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God's word is true. Man died. Died spiritually, completely separated from God the Father, separated from God the Son, separated from the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And for a time, totally separated was Adam and Eve, because Eve had fallen and Adam had not. Adam knew the only way to redeem his bride was it would be through childbirth. And so he had to sin himself, join Eve in order to produce this seed, which would bring forth eventually, in God's time, the Savior, the Messiah. Adam made that choice. As the Lord Jesus did come some 2,000 years ago now, some 4,000 years after this has taken place, but 2,000 years ago from now, when Jesus Christ came here to earth, he took that load of sin, never had sinned, and yet took the load of sin, your sin and mine, because of our disobedience, because of our sin, he took it. And he took it to the cross of Calvary. He carried it all the way to the cross. He carried it all the way to his death, because you see, the wages of sin is death. So Jesus paid the price. He paid it all because he was a perfect sacrifice. He could do just that, and he paid the debt. Now all we need to do is come by faith to him and believe Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that I can live. You must believe that. You must believe that today. And not just with your mind, but in your heart. Now, with that in mind, let's look at the seventh verse. Eve has died, has sinned, and died spiritually, beginning to die physically. Adam has followed suit, followed Eve, eaten of the forbidden fruit, died spiritually, and beginning to die physically. Their eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They tried to cover themselves, didn't they? You know, prior to this time, when there was no sin, they were in perfect fellowship with God. They enjoyed the fellowship with God every day. They walked, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, verse 8 tells us. So we know that it was that kind of fellowship that they had with God. They also had a wonderful fellowship with the communication with the animals, because God had designed a perfect world. They had everything, and all they had to do was not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all they needed to not do. And the old serpent come with the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and got Eve to turn away from following her husband and God. And then Adam followed to redeem his bride. And now that they have sinned, no longer do they have fellowship with God. And a matter of fact, instead of having wonderful fellowship and friendship with God the Creator, they're afraid of Him. Why are they afraid of Him? Because they are separated from Him. For the first time, instead of being one with God, perfect fellowship with God, they are God's enemies. That's what sin did. It took us from being our best friends, our God, our Creator, one that we can be thankful for all that He has given us in the beautiful place to live and the beautiful life He has given us and everything around. Instead of praising God for that and being in perfect fellowship with the Creator, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, instead of that, we find that they are enemies. And now they are afraid. Fear is something that didn't exist before. Their eyes were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." They went from perfect fellowship with God to fear of God. God now was their enemy. They were that far apart. As much as Adam and Eve was before, this distance is greater between Adam and Eve and God. But look what they tried to do. Their eyes were both open, verse 7. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. Okay, we're naked now. Now we got to cover ourselves. Prior to the sin, they were perfect. They were in perfect fellowship. They were innocent, totally and completely innocent. Now they're no longer innocent, and they're afraid and they're ashamed, and so they cover themselves. They do not fall up on her face before God as He walks through the garden and says, "God, please forgive me. I have sinned. I have fallen from You. You told me not to, but I did. Please have mercy upon me." Instead of that, they covered themselves. today we have the same thing going on almost everywhere. The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection is gone by the wayside. You hear it a little bit, but you do not hear it to the point that you have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that you and I can live. Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus, believe in Him, and begin this personal walk, this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need this relationship with God the Son, Jesus Christ. Please, it is a relationship, a personal relationship. It's not just a head knowledge. It's in the heart. Let's look to see what what Adam and Eve first attempted to do. They sewed fig leaves together. They covered themselves. Now, you see, that's what religion does today. You know, I've heard people say, you know, well, I'm very religious. Well, I don't care about being religious. I don't really want anybody to tell me I'm religious. I want somebody to tell me I'm godly. And the only way they can tell me I'm godly is if I walk very close to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow His way and will. And His first way and His will is that I come by faith to Him and I trust in Him as my Savior. They put the coats, the fig leaves on the outside. It had nothing to do with God doing something. Now we're going to find here, not too far into the scripture here, that God did much the same thing. He covered them with the coats of skin. Now we're going to spend a lot of time with that, and I want you to see the difference between Adam and Eve covering themselves with these fig leaves, sewing these fig leaves together and covering themselves versus what God has done for them in the later verses. But I want you to see that today this goes on, and it goes on a regular basis in most of our churches today. They have quit preaching the gospel. They have stopped telling people that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need to be saved. They would rather get their sewing machines out and begin to sew together beautiful patterns and coats and things to put on the people to make them feel warm and fuzzy and cozy and let them die and go to hell to spend eternity in the lake of fire. They would rather do that than they would to tell them, did you know the wages of sin is death? You're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Will you please call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Because not only is the wages of sin is death, yes, but also here is the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a gift of God. You have to receive that gift. You have to believe God is your Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Do you believe that in your heart? Notice here, it started on the outside. They put the fig leaves, sewed the fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Isn't it something how almost immediately that mankind begins to try to cover their sin? You know, as you see people as they go to church and they leave the church, oh, they have the fanciest clothes on. They have the beautiful dresses and the beautiful suits on, and they look so beautiful and so handsome, and everything is just perfect. Have the beautiful tie, and I wear a suit to church. I think we need to wear our best. I've been claimed at different times that you can't be a part of this church unless you wear a tie. Well, that's out of context. I wear a tie. I wear a tie on Sunday night. I wear a tie on Sunday morning. I wear a tie on Wednesday night because I think that we need to wear our best. We need to look our best, not to put on a show for people, but to show respect unto our God. But people come many times in their old clothes. That's showing no respect. You know, said, oh, I can come and worship God in my jeans. Yes, you can. If that's the best you have, then that's wonderful. you wear the best you have. But if you have some very nice clothes that you just saved for the going out on Saturday night and you don't want to waste them on Sunday morning, or you just didn't have time to get all dressed up on Sunday morning because you stayed out too late on Sunday night, you got your priorities messed up. You need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for power and for strength, and come into the house of God with your best on. Here they come many times with their best. This is the best Adam and Eve had. Adam and Eve put on this. They sewed these together. They put them on. I'm sure they looked very nice, covered them probably fairly well, and they thought, this is all right. Well, that's what religion does to you today, and that could be what your church is doing to you today. You're going, you're listening to a sermonette, and today nobody sings them beautiful old hymns. Everybody's went to all the choruses. Well, it's a lot better for the choruses, because you can just sing a couple choruses, get yourself kind of all wound up, listen to the sermonette, you got your suit on, you're looking good, or maybe you're one that one of these places where they've went that they said, you know, you can come in your regular old everyday clothes. Don't dress up to come here. Well, that's being disrespectful to God. That's disrespectful to His church and to God Himself, when you come with no more thought, and even the thought that I want to be comfortable. I don't want you to come here and be comfortable. I want you to come here and hear the Word of God. If that is satisfying to your soul and you enjoy the teaching of the Word of God, wonderful. If you don't, get right with God so that you do. These people here had the coats on. They sewed these fig leaves together, and they made these kind of jackets, aprons, the Scripture calls it here. Things to gird about is a note that I have on the aprons. And so they made themselves aprons, they put it on, and for a time they felt better. Now that's exactly what you're doing today if you have not come by faith to Jesus Christ. You have listened to the world, and the world has taken the things. And you think about this. When you sing all these choruses today, instead of singing those beautiful old hymns that touch your heart and break your heart, and if you're listening to a sermonette instead of the Word of God proclaiming that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need a Savior, Jesus Christ, people should be out telling people that you're lost, you need a Savior, and bringing them to Jesus and then bringing them to church. Instead of that, everything is all changed today. We've got everybody wearing these beautiful fig leaf outfits, and they come and they can sit in right inside the church where it's supposed to be for people that have come by faith to Jesus Christ, so that the shepherd can teach, can grow the flock, and grow the sheep in the Word of God. But instead of that, the church is full of goats. It's full of people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so you've got all kinds of division. You've just got everybody suited up in their beautiful latest fig leaf outfit. We need to get the fig leaves off, and we get to get the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Now, what happens today with the preaching of the sermonettes, with the music today? Some have added the drums and the guitars and all those things instead of just enjoying the sweet old hymns that'll touch your heart, break your heart, because you want to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of that, why, it's just getting you feeling good. You're tapping your foot. You're just feeling so good about what's going on. It's all feeling. Well, as these fig leaves felt the same way. They were very comfortable. And so we need the world today, the religion today, needs to have you feel good. So it begins, see, on the outside and tries to work in to change you, to make you feel good. Well, the Word of God is opposite of that. The Word of God has to start with the problem, which is a wicked heart. And you need to be born again to have a new heart. once you're born again, John chapter 3, you must be born again. Once you have confessed your sin, come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, been saved, you receive a new heart. Now, instead of trying to put something on the outside to cover your wicked ugliness, instead of that, you've got a new heart, and it's beginning from inside and working its way out to make you new and godly and a person that is a blessing unto God. Remember, last time we were together, we looked at some women in the Bible that were a blessing and some that were a curse. And so, in order for you to be a blessing, man or woman, child, you must be born again. You need a new heart, and you work from the inside out. Do not try to clean up the outside, hoping that that'll make your heart new, because it's not going to work. Adam and Eve put on these fig leaves, sewed them together, put them on, thinking that that's going to do it. They covered up their wicked condition, their nakedness. No longer are they innocent. They're sinners, and they're lost, and they tried just to cover it up. And today, it is done so often today, more times than not, our churches today are religious. They are covering up sin. They're not doing anything with it. They're just trying to cover it. And it works for a period of time, and then the truth comes out. We must believe God. Eve should have believed God when God said, you're going to die. Now, I know that God did not tell, or at least we're not told anyway, that God told Eve. We're told that he told Adam. Adam, we feel, has told Eve. She should have believed her husband. She should have believed God's word. Adam did. It's important that we believe God's word. And when it tells us that we can't cover up, we can't put something on that makes us look good, we must be born again. We must come to God. We must believe him. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. Isn't it something how at the very beginning they tried to cover it instead of coming to God in confession? They tried to cover it. Today, that's mankind. Man wants to cover it, not go unto a holy God asking, pleading for forgiveness. And God's word says, if we'll come to him, turn unto him, he will save us. We must call upon him for salvation. But did you notice in the 12th verse of Genesis chapter 3 that the man says, yes, I take full responsibility for what I've done. What did he do? You see what sin does? Immediately said, she made me do it. Now that's where we're going to start next time we come together. Please, I want you to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to get away from this religion. I want you to be holy. And the only way you can be holy is to come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved. I want you to trust in Jesus today. Will you look to him? Ask him to forgive you of your sin. He will. He'll set you free. He'll do that. You'll be born again. Jesus Christ will become your Savior. And you will have a personal, wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. Your walk will begin. You can be made new from in to out. And don't try it from out to in. It doesn't work. My dear friend, as I always ask, what are you going to do about Jesus?